Megabyte, gigabyte, terabyte, there's oodles of data out there. But how do we make sense of it all? Well, if a picture's worth a thousand words, maybe a good graph's worth thousands of data points. Data journalist David McCandless makes elegant graphics out of enormous amounts of data. I started out by asking him just what a data journalist does.
Data journalism is a new form of reporting and storytelling that uses data sets, spreadsheets, statistics and numbers to form stories out of the data that's surrounding us. And it also uses programmatic techniques like scraping and mining, which is delving into the depths of a document to find patterns, and statistical analysis to find stories and interesting angles and perspectives within the data.
So you still think of yourself as a journalist. It's just a different way of relating the data.
Yeah, it's a different way of storytelling, I guess I would say. I've been a print journalist for many years, using words, obviously, and now I combine insights I find in data with visualizations of those data, so graphics, charts, diagrams, revealing the patterns and connections between ideas and thoughts and numbers that you perhaps couldn't see just in a spreadsheet.
So how did you get started at that? I mean, what was the point when you realized that you wanted to tell a story in a different way?
I've been a print journalist for quite a few years and also working online, and I was getting more and more into thinking about how design and color and layout and typography relate to information. And that was influencing me, and I remember just trying to understand a very complex article I was writing, and I remember scribbling down a diagram just to help me keep track of all the perspectives in this article. And I remember looking at that diagram and thinking, oh, I don't have to write the article now. I've kind of done my job of conveying my understanding as a journalist of this idea. Maybe I could, instead of writing an article, I could actually visualize this data, visualize this information, and that could be the article itself.
I think the notion appeals to a lot of us because we're overwhelmed with information. There's so much going on that we have trouble making sense of things. And I guess that's what you're doing, is finding a different way to make sense of things. But in order to understand it, I guess we've got to talk about it. Maybe you could walk me through one of your visualizations. The dietary supplements graphic, for instance.
Sure. So this visualization arose out of my curiosity and, I have to admit, frustration with the presentation of evidence for dietary supplements like vitamin C or wheatgrass or anything you might take to enhance your health. It's conflicting studies coming out all the time. The newspapers say you should take this, then the next day it's something else. There's just so much. There's a huge amount of studies. I mean, we looked at about nearly 2,000 individual studies for various supplements, over 200 supplements. And so the graphic attempts to visualize all the evidence for those supplements, and it does so in a style of diagram called a balloon race. So if you can imagine a load of balloons racing towards the sky, and the balloons that are higher have more evidence, and the balloons that are lower have less evidence, and it just simply ranks them in that vertical order. And the bubbles are scaled according to the popularity of each substance. So you can see in an instant if there's a relationship between the efficacy of a supplement and its popularity. And you can see straight away how few supplements out there are actually at the top of the diagram where the proof resides.
What was the moment? I'm just curious in the process of creating this graphic representation of the issue. Did you consider different ways to put it together? Were there some that you put together and it didn't still make sense to you, and then you discovered the bubbles made it leap off the page for you?
Yeah, I tried a few approaches, and when I designed that snake oil diagram, I was still quite a neophyte designer, so I was a little bit green. So I tried many approaches, and often that's the case with these visualizations. It's a bit like sculpting. You're trying to find the exact perfect form to express the data. So I went down a lot of dark alleys and dead ends. And I think after about 7 or 8 drafts, I found the bubble approach. And I thought, oh, this feels good. And there was also resonance with the idea of snake oil and things in your body rising. So the bubble seemed really appropriate.
There's another one that I found very useful. I must admit it leapt off the page at me. And it was visualizing blood test. It's a really straightforward representation. But a lot of us, I think, have gotten these little charts back from the lab after you've had a blood test. And how did you describe it? They look like secret missives from the CIA 1965.
Yeah. Again, frustration, which seems to be my biggest inspiration these days. Like you say, it's difficult to decipher medical reports. They're often written for doctors. Why do they have to be? They can equally speak to us. So we can use visualization here to unlock the important information. And all I did was take a standard blood test, which is just a list of numbers which are hard to understand, and put them in on a spectrum so you can see what the numbers are in context. It's something that you can drink in effortlessly and understand without any kind of education or training, which is the way it should be with medical information.
Absolutely. And I mean, I've seen these things, and you have, you get 1.3 to 7 and your range is, and you look at that and you think, oh, okay, wait. But once you lay it out here, especially with a little explanation underneath, it begins to make sense. Do you feel good after you've done one of these? You say, yes, all of a sudden I understand this?
Yeah, I spend most of my time in midair in slow motion, punching the sky. I mean, it is really enjoyable. And when you, these images can take a long time, but when you break through into that zone where you start to realize you're making it and it's making sense, is a good feeling, a good creative feeling, but also a good informational feeling. You know, you feel like understanding is coming, and it's a rush, yeah. But I would definitely be striving to harmonize the quality of the design and the colors and visual aesthetics. But occasionally I hit it, I create something and it's like, wow, that's actually really beautiful and really informative.
Are you trying to take raw data and turn it into knowledge or understanding?
Yeah, I think that's actually really well put. That feels like the process. Data by itself on its own is a little bit boring, but I think it takes a human to interact with the data and find a story to bring meaning to it, make it into understanding or knowledge. And I see this work as not designing information, but designing understanding.
Is there a lot of demand for this?
Yeah, there's a huge, huge demand for data visualization and infographics. And it seems to cross a lot of domains. I mean, originally it was in newspapers and science, and now it's crossing into governments, education, sport. They're all sitting on huge amounts of data, and they're looking to make them into visuals so that other people can understand stories that are embedded in their domains.
One of the things that I caught as you were saying that is that sentence, they have huge amounts of data. In fact, we are talking about some visual representations that have to take just an immense amount of information.
There's so much information. There's a phrase actually that goes around in the data journalism world, which is data is the new oil. And it's this idea of a ubiquitous, almost never-ending resource that's it's literally pouring out of the walls or pouring out of the ground. And that's when the journalism comes in, because story can be a thread that can lead you through the labyrinth of data, and so you don't get lost, you don't get sidetracked.
This is sort of what journalism is all about from the beginning, isn't it? You are the user's representative here, trying to make sense out of a difficult story.
Right, yeah. And somebody commented to me that data journalism was a little bit like a new form of photojournalism, and painted the data journalist as someone going out to the new frontier, the landscape of data, and coming back with amazing stories and photographs of the amazing vistas and knowledge that lie in the digital realm of data.
And you're faced with the same things journalists have been faced with forever, and that's finding the relevant data and piling it up so that you can tell the story in the first place. I noticed, for instance, you had what I thought at first was a very nice presentation of artists' royalties from CD sales. And then I thought, where is he getting all this information?
That was an incredibly difficult diagram, actually. I set about to try and work out how much each individual musician earns from the sales on a digital format, such as an MP3 or a playback on some streaming. And I started to investigate, and I found that these numbers are actually quite well hidden by the industries involved. And I went on a long journey, and in the end, I had to have the figures leaked to me by an insider on the industry so that I could actually do the graphic and visualize how many millions of plays your modern-day musician has to have in order to earn a decent wage on one of these streaming systems.
You know that phrase, lies, damn lies, and statistics? Are we moving into lies, damn lies, statistics, and information visualization?
Yeah, actually, I think so. I think you can lie with statistics, and you can really definitely lie with visualized statistics, because they carry the power of data, which is hard to argue with, and they also carry the power of design, which is hard to argue with. It has impact, it has authority. So it's hard to argue with a diagram. I think you've seen already in elections and on TV, various political parties battering each other with graphs and diagrams, which you accept in the moment, but you may not think to go back and check the veracity of them. And that's why I always feel this approach, visualization, needs to be paired with transparency. There are movements around for open data so that whenever there's data has been visualized, that the data is available to be inspected so people can check where you're coming from, check you haven't mangled the numbers to portray your message, and check that your sources are all correct.
Is there a kind of data that you don't yet feel capable of presenting visually?
I think what I'm hitting in my work is the limitation of static images. And I think what I'm yearning to explore, and I'm beginning to explore, is interactivity, presenting a set of data and then allowing the viewer to tweak it and edit it and angle it so that they find their own story, so they're able to explore the data themselves. That feels like the right direction to go.
David McCandless is a data journalist. His latest book is called Information is Beautiful. You can find a link to his work through our website, ttbook.org.